I want to make available to you. I asked Brother Jim has put out, he has a tape where he ministers in song. They're at the youth table, and that right where you can get your Frontline Soldiers for Christ video yearbook. And his tape is available, and it's out there, and it's for $5. I want to encourage you to stop by and pick one up. The songs on there are a real blessing. That song, How Excellent Is Thy Name, How Great Thou Art, He's Alive, I'll Rise Again. There's many wonderful songs on there. I encourage you to stop by and pick one up. It'll be a great blessing to you. Luke chapter 13, as you're turning there, how many of you were here last week with Sister Wanda Casper? Oh my, that was powerful. Thank God for that precious woman. And what a blessing she is. I want to thank you as well for your participation in blessing her ministry. Now, you supported that work in the Philippines. We were able to give her an offering of $2,200. Thank God forevermore to support the work in the Philippines. And we just rejoice for the privilege of sowing across the world. Amen. I want seed from this ministry to be on every inhabited continent on this earth. Praise God to reap a harvest. She shared a message on divine healing. As I was praying about the direction to go for this Sunday, the Spirit of God began to deal with me. I was preparing along one line, and I kept getting a check about it. Spending almost all the time through the week on the area of giving and prosperity, because I know the Spirit of God's been dealing with me to do a series on God's view of finance. But as I began to study, I just kept having a check in my spirit. And to teach about how to keep your healing. How to keep what God gives you. You see, it's one thing to receive something. It's another thing to know how to keep it. And I want to talk to you, though, today on how to keep what God gives you. Specifically, how to keep your healing. Now, you say, well, Pastor, when I had hands laid on me, nothing, there was no manifestation immediately. Well, how do you keep that power that was administered to your body by the laying on of hands and your faith in God, active in your body? How do you keep the power of God active in your body? Now, you may have been one, and there were probably, I believe, if I guesstimated the hands that went up, about 50 people that said there was an instantaneous change in their condition. Yet, how do you keep that change in your body? How do you not lose it? Very often, when people are instantly healed, in fact, you could say this, you can almost mark it down, because I'll teach you scripturally why this is. The attack will come back, and what you do at that moment will determine whether you keep what God gave you or whether you lose it. Now, many people have this view. Well, God's God. If He wants me to keep it, well, bless God, I'll keep it. If He doesn't, I won't. It's up to God. Well, that's nice if that were true, but it's not. It has more to do with you. Now, listen to me. Your healing has more to do with you than it does with God. Now, see, someone said, well, that's humanistic. That's trying to separate God. No, no, no. I'm saying God has done everything He's going to do in Christ Jesus already. How many of you know when you got saved is not the day Jesus died? Anytime you lead someone to Christ, God is working in them something that He did for them 2,000 years ago. So you see, when you lead someone to the Lord, it's not at that moment that God has done something for them. It is at that moment they received that which God previously did in Jesus Christ. And so it is with divine healing. Now someone says, you believe in faith healing. No, I don't. I believe in a great God who heals. You're one of those faith healers. I don't have an ounce of faith healing in me. What I have faith in is a great God who's my Father who desires to heal the sick. That's who my faith's in. Now, if they want to call that faith healing, they can call it what they want. I'll just call it living in the realm of Jehovah Rapha. That's the Greek name for Him. He called Him. That was a name God gave Himself. My name is Jehovah the Healer. That bothers religious people? Well, just get bothered. Because that's His name. And if you're saved and you get to heaven, guess what? He's not going to change His name. Right. To make you comfortable. I want to adapt myself to the names of God while I'm on the earth. But how do you keep what God gave you? You first have to establish if what you're receiving is your right to possess. And I was so blessed in how Sister Wanda Casper ministered last week. It was so clear. In fact, I just want to get that tape and go over it again. There were some things that just built something in me. But in order to resist sickness, you must first establish that you have a right to possess healing. How can you resist sickness? if you have not established beyond all shadow of all doubt that you have a right to possess healing. And you see, that's established by understanding the origin of sickness and disease. What is the origin? Where did sickness come from? Now, there's so many religious views, and we could take forever talking about religious views, different Christian religious views, as well as different Eastern religions and their views of why sickness exists. But I'll just take God's view. I'd rather share with you what God's Word said about it, what Jesus said about it. And that's the only view you need to know. And then all the other ones you can just chuck. You all know what chuck means? Toss away. Get rid of. Forget about. Forget you ever heard it. Let those religious things that trapped you and those things that established your thinking and your belief be trashed if it's contrary to what Jesus said. Jesus in Luke 13, have you found it? Amen. Gave you time. Luke 13, look at verse 11. And behold, there was a woman who for 18 years, everybody say 18 years, had a sickness caused by a spirit. And she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, He called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." And He laid hands on her. And immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. And the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus healed on the Sabbath day, began to say to the multitude in response to her healing, "There are 6 days in which work should be done. Therefore come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Now, he wasn't speaking to Jesus. He was speaking to the multitudes, but Jesus answered him anyway. And the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrite." I love him. Now, I guarantee you, this synagogue official didn't receive an offering for Jesus at the end of this dissertation. He said, "You hypocrite." He said, "Does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him?" And what's the obvious answer to that? Of course they did. He said, "And this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" And as he said this, all of his opponents were humiliated. They should have been. You know what he said to them? He said, "You've got more care, synagogue official. You care more about your donkey than you do about this woman. You'll care for your animal on the Sabbath day because it's right to care for a beast. The Bible said a righteous man regardeth his beast." Now someone would say, "But Pastor, I heard you don't like dogs." It says, "Regardeth his beast." I own no beast. Hallelujah. I don't hate animals. Don't at all. I mean, y'all, you have them. I can even pet your animal. But I don't want one. I said, "Pastor, what will you do when your child looks up at you and says, 'Daddy, I want a dog. I will bear the brunt like the rest of you did and get one.'" And a sad day that will be. "I want one that doesn't shed, doesn't do anything out of, you know what I mean? What I really want is to get one of yours after it's expired and get taxidermies to just fix it and just sit it there." My wife, I know right now, she's going, "Oh, God, help him. Please make him stop." No, I'm not cruel. We can enjoy it the second time. Hallelujah. Oh, the longer you're here, the more abnormal you find me to be. But he was saying to these people, he said, "Now, you care." Now, he said, here was the religious man's contention. The Sabbath day, no work should be done, and that was true. He said, healing is work. Healing is something that's like going and toiling in the field. He said, "Now, the 6 days you can get healed, but don't come on the Sabbath." And Jesus looked at him and said, "You hypocrite." He said, "You hypocrite. You took your beast and got him water on the Sabbath day, because if you didn't, it would injure him. But no, this woman..." Now listen, here's the key. He said, "being a daughter of Abraham." Jesus was saying... Well, now, how many of you know she was not the physical daughter of Abraham? Abraham's been dead for many years. He was determining and inferring, this woman has a covenant with God. And should she not be loosed from this bondage on the Sabbath day, when you'll feed your animal? And the Bible said he was humiliated. He should have been. And it should be humiliating to any Christian who would look in the face of a God who gave his only son, who spared not his own son, and then to look at him and question his desire to do well for you. A person should feel humiliated after saying such a statement. But so much of the time, our religious training has taught us that God is this ogre in heaven, that you never know what he'll do, because his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And you never know why. But somehow, there may be a reason in your sickness. There may be a purpose in God doing this, because God's ways are not our ways. He's chastising you and teaching you. Let me be as clear as I can be. Sickness does nothing but make you sick. It doesn't teach you. It doesn't make you more pious and holy. It just makes you sick. That's all it does. Anybody married? Does anybody have a husband? What does your husband become when he becomes ill? You know there ain't nothing valuable in disease. Nothing. Not a thing. But see, the thing of it is, religion will make you take an enemy and befriend it. Religion will make you take an enemy in who desires to kill you and cause it to put some kind of religious terminology over it and accept an enemy as a friend. God is a loving Father, and Jesus was the express will of God on the earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ called sickness and disease satanic bondage, that one with the covenant should be loosed from. So Jesus, out of his own mouth, told you the origin of sickness and disease. Now, anybody who says God uses the devil to teach his people doesn't know God from a pogo stick. They might be born again, but they can't know God. How many of you would take someone who wanted to kill you and send your kids to teach over there? Teach, hey, by the way, you've been trying, there's a sniper been trying to kill you for years. Every time you go out of your house, he's a bad shot. Bing! You just see the bullets fly. You got bullet holes all over your house, shoots the tires out of your car as you drive, and your child's having a bad week. And you think, yes, I know what I'll do. My child needs to learn a lesson. I'll send him to the sniper. He's been shooting at us for years. That'll teach him. Now, anybody with any sense of humanity at all or normalcy would think that's repulsive to say that. But Christians, in their religiosity, look and say the very thing about their Heavenly Father. Where did we get this thinking that we have a higher degree and quality of love than God does? That God, who is love, we who just possess the God kind of love by the power of the Holy Ghost, have a higher degree and measure of love than God the Father. We wouldn't do it, but you know God, he would. And we try to rub it off on some religious word like sovereignty. God's sovereignty is not his ability to be evil and wicked. That's called, what is evil and wicked being? Evil and wicked. That's all it is. And when you get that understanding and it penetrates your religious thinking, at that moment when Jesus, you see, he said, sickness and disease is not from God, then you accept it as the end of the story. Say, bless God, then it's not from me. And he said, now understand, you must know, in order to resist disease, you have a right to appropriate healing. And Jesus established the right under the old covenant. You have a new and better covenant. He said a covenant person has a right to healing. When the Syrophoenician woman came to him, who was not a Jew, had no covenant with God, and she besought him greatly, said, Lord, my child is possessed of a devil. And his disciples tried to send her away. And then she came to Jesus finally and said, Lord, my daughter. And he said, woman, it's not proper for me to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Gentiles are referred to as dogs. He said, you don't have a covenant with God. I can't do it. I don't have just rights to come in arbitrarily and bless you. I can only do that with people that have a covenant with God. You don't have one. She said to him, yes, master, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. He said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Go thy way as thou believest, be it done unto thee. Her daughter was healed that very hour. That woman knew that even the crumbs that fell from the children's bread possessed enough power in them to heal the sick. But the children reject the bread. God, help us to get our minds renewed. That the children's bread is healing. It belongs to you. So if you understand it is your given possession as a covenant right, then you understand you can resist disease. When you understand and take what the Word says as the place of its origin. Now, Acts 10:38 says this, and it's a conclusion scripture. It kind of wraps the whole thing together. It said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So clearly you find two scriptures that can... Now, we're not taking them out of their setting. It can't be any clearer. The Word of God calls disease. Jesus, out of His own lips, said it's bondage. Acts 10:38 calls it satanic oppression. Now, let me clarify here. I am not saying all sickness is an evil spirit. That is not what the Bible teaches. Its origin, however, is not with God, but with Satan. Now, there are some sicknesses and diseases that are caused by an evil spirit. Not all of them. Some of them are. And not all forms of disease. Sometimes you may have people, for example, somebody's epileptic. Well, most they'll assume, well, that's an evil spirit. Not always. Not always. It could be. May not be. Someone may have cancer. They say, well, that was an evil spirit on that person. Could be. May not be. Healing is appropriated from the same source. The cause, we know we've got to go back to the origin of the cause, and that was the fall of man when Satan had entrance into this earth realm and perverted the work of God. And that's what the Bible teaches. So you have to understand the origin of sickness in diseases from Satan. And on that basis, you have a right to healing. Because Jesus stripped him of his authority. He disarmed him, Colossians says. And so you say, well, Pastor, I've asked God to heal me before. Nothing happened. Nothing happened for me. Asking God for something and believing God for something are two different things. And you've got to understand, when you go before God, you've got to establish this is the will of God. Faith begins only where the will of God is known. Now, Galatians 3:13 says this in regarding your right to receive from God. That Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ, now listen to this, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3:13 and 14 tells you, Christ was your substitute, so that we through Him may receive the very blessing that God placed on Abraham. And that blessing could come over into the Gentiles through the avenue of faith. And so you see, you and I must come to a position in our walk with God where we realize that if sickness and disease has its origin in Satan, and it is a covenant right to be healed, then there must be a way to appropriate that healing, and that's through the avenue of faith in God. Now, we don't want to take a lot of time, in other words, to teach on faith and how to receive. That's another subject. I want to teach you that once you come to that position where you've released your faith to receive the power of God to effect a healing and a cure in your body, how do you keep that power at work on your behalf? How do you cooperate with that power? Or, worse yet, how do you resist that power or stop it from working? And that's what we really want to get to today. Once you've released your faith or had a healing manifestation, how are you going to keep it? Just because a miracle begins in your body doesn't mean that it'll be completed or fully consummated. Now, I'm going to share, I need to share this with you, a testimony, a thing that happened in our ministry several years ago. We were ministering in a church, and actually, Michelle and I weren't even married at the time. And God moved powerfully by the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and an individual came up to be prayed for. When I went to minister to this person, the Holy Ghost on the inside of me spoke and said, just give him, just hold him, hug him. I've never done that before, and I don't believe since. But you need to obey the Lord when you're ministering to people. So I just reached over and took, he's an older man, and hugged him. When I did, he was instantly filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues. Then the power of God hit him and he just fell over. Power hit him. I mean, he just gets up and he's instantly healed. Now, he had arthritis for years. He was on the strongest medication you could be on. That is arthritis medication. I don't know the names and all the details. I just know that's what they told me. He said, you know, and he put a pool in behind his home so he could get in that pool and get some weightlessness, so to speak, and get relief in his joints. For years, he suffered every day of his life. Now, by the power of God, he's instantly set free. That meeting ended, it was an 11-day meeting. The power of God felt just kept extending. It was scheduled to go 4, ended up going 11. We had a glorious time. Well, he came back to the next service. As I was praying in the afternoon for that night service, the Holy Ghost said to me, the symptoms came back on him. He accepted them. And he's back the way he was. So before I ever preached that night, I called him out. I said, brother, can I pray for you again and ask him to come up? Now, no one heard me say this to him, but I said, this afternoon, I said, the symptoms came back on you and you said, well, I must not be healed. And he accepted them. He said, well, yeah, that's exactly what happened. He said, and they're all back on me. And so it was either 1 or 2 days after he was prayed for. You lose things through time. And so I prayed for him again. And then I tried to teach him. Now, you got to resist and try to teach him how to resist, which we'll get to in a minute. He seemed to agree. Every symptom disappeared again. He went and sat down. Again the next time. Next day, it was a day or two later. I'm in prayer again, the Holy Ghost says. The symptoms came back. He accepted them again. I called him up again. I said, brother, and no one knows what's going on but me and him. I said, every symptom came back on you this afternoon, and you accepted them. And you said, I must not be healed. He said, that's exactly right. And I'm as bad as I've ever been. Every symptom's back. Prayed for him again. Every symptom left. The third time came up. The Holy Ghost said it. He accepted them again. Now I'm taking my time. I'm preaching to him. And I took a dollar bill out of my pocket and said, this is yours. Now hold on to it. And he grabbed it and he held on to it. And he tried to, and he possessed it. I said, now, I'm going to try to take it away from you. I want you to resist me. And he held on to it as I tried to pull it away. He just held on to it. I said, do you see that you're keeping it because you believe it belongs to you? You're resisting me. I said, now, that's what you've got to do where your healing's concerned. You've got to know that it belongs to you. Therefore, you have a right to resist it. And then he said this to me. He said, if God wants me to stay healed, that's up to God, not me. Now, the reason I bring this up to you is I want you to know he's a precious man, a good man. A good moral man. Love God. Very sincere. And he said that with complete sincerity, what he felt was being humble. But what he was being was biblically ignorant. And he's a good man. If you met him, you'd probably say, you couldn't find a better man. And I mean that sincerely. Because I know him. But he's not healed. His healing never came back, and it never will. See, he's waiting for God to do something for him. There's a Godward side and a manward side to everything you ever get from heaven. God will not do your part, and we cannot do his part. He said, God, here's your part. And God said, here's your part, dear brother. And he said, no, I won't presume to say anything before God. Thought he was being humble. What he was being robbed. And that sickness for 20 years plagued him. Now he's completely free. I mean, doesn't have a symptom in his body. But see, people say, well, if it's God, it'll stick. Must not have been God. How many of you have a Bible? You ever read about Peter when he walked on water? But he sunk. He began out in the supernatural. He began in a miracle. And he ended almost drowning. You can begin, but not consummate or end. If you take one step on water, that would be a miracle, wouldn't it? I mean, if you took half a step, if you even hit the water and bounced once, that would be a miracle. But the Bible said he walked. Walked enough that he was so close to Jesus that Jesus reached his hand out and grabbed him as he began to sink. Have you ever jumped in the water? You don't begin to sink. You sink. And Peter began to go down. And that's what many believers do. They start out having received, and then they don't know how to keep it. They're distracted from what they believe, and they let go of what they believe. They don't resist the enemy, and they begin to sink. And that's what happens in the lives of many believers. Many of you that had healing, maybe a full manifestation of your healing last Sunday, maybe Monday morning a symptom came. What you did at that point will determine whether you keep what God gave you or whether you accept that enemy in and befriend him. And so I want to share with you, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says this. lest Satan should get the advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Well, I like to say it this way, or at least we shouldn't be. But I want to say to you this morning, many Christians are ignorant of Satan's devices or his mode of operation, his M.O. You see, when somebody commits a series of crimes, the police establish an M.O., the way they operate, their mode of operation, so they can establish a pattern. God's Word gives you Satan's M.O. And then He says, I don't want you ignorant of the way he operates. Yet Christians, if there's anything they've possessed in abundance, it's ignorance. And Satan thrives on ignorance. He thrives on it. And that's one of the greatest foundations he has to destroy people. Because God's Word says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed through a lack of knowledge. Then he went on to say, and because they have rejected knowledge, I must reject them. You can't hold to God and reject His Word. I love you, Lord. The Word says this, I reject that. Don't say you love Him and reject His Word. Now, you may love Him with all your heart, but when you push yourself away from the Word, you are pushing yourself away from God. And the Bible says, if you draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. God says it, you initiate. I initiated the love relationship. Now, you draw nigh unto me. I love you and my Son. He died for you. Now, you draw nigh unto me, I'll draw nigh unto you. Well, Lord, I love you, I love you. Here's what my Word says, Son. Well, I don't accept that. Grandma doesn't like that doctrine. I grew up in the Third Church of the Frozen, and we don't believe that. I don't say that critically. I say that with all the compassion I can. That when you hold something that has some traditional something meaning to you, I've had people say to me, oh, I can't let go of my tradition. It's like, my God in heaven, you want to shake them. Say, listen to me. Your tradition's worthless. There won't be any of it in heaven. It's killing you. But it means so much to me. And they're so religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. And they throw away the portion that belongs to them. They throw away the children's bread to hold on to some worthless tradition. No. 1,000 no's, forget that. I grew up with tradition and religion, and I can't stomach it. And I love the people, but the tradition is repulsive. Now, when that's all you have, and you don't know there's something else, fine. But when you see the light of the Word, and you cling to your tradition, God deliver you from your deception. Because you're holding to nothing. It's like saying, I'm a rich man, and you have nothing in your checkbook. Wow, it's great to have so much. And they look at you and there's nothing there. And that's how people are that hold to nothing but tradition. Jesus said the origin of disease is from Satan. And then the Word said, do not be ignorant of the way he functions. Do not be ignorant of his devices. Do not be ignorant of his modus operandi or his mode of operation. How he works. Don't be ignorant of it. Yet Christians are so thoroughly ignorant. We have to be aware of the way the devil functions to work his purpose in our lives. Listen to me, please. Satan has a purpose for your life. Jesus told us what it was in John 10:10. He said, for the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his will for you. Now, I'm just determined that I'd rather cooperate with God's will than the devil's will. But I want you to see that very often we do just the opposite. We hold and push away from our Redeemer and turn to our enemy and cooperate with him. You don't want to do that. And very times, often we should say, we do it in ignorance. There is an operation of the devil, a principle you need to understand. And I'm going to take you to two scriptures to establish that. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. And I'm just going to read verse 15. Then quickly we're going to go to Luke 11. Through a principle that you need to be aware of, then this is it in a nutshell. That Satan will challenge any spiritual progress you make or anything you receive from the Lord. It is his M.O. to challenge it. That's how he operates. So don't be alarmed when he challenges what you've received. When you get instantly healed or the power of God flows into your body, he is going to challenge what you believe. He's going to come as he did with that dear brother that I prayed for in that meeting. That the power of God moves in a wonderful way to bless him. And challenged him. And he said, when the symptoms came back, instead of knowing the way the devil operates, he thought he was being humble and cooperating with the devil. And he looks at him and he says, well, I guess it must not be God's will to heal me. If it was, I'd have stayed well. Oh, God help us not to be trapped in ignorance such as that. It'll kill you. And listen, I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care if you tithe, bake cookies for the cookie sale, work in whatever department of the church, been faithful for so long. Oh, they're going to make an extra pillar in heaven just for me. Hallelujah. There'll be the 12 for the apostles of the Lamb and the 13th one for me. Bless my holy name. I don't care how much you've done for God, how faithful you've been, it's worthless in the area of receiving. That is what is due Him because He's God. You don't receive by your works. You receive by grace through faith. You don't come to Him on the basis, look what I've done. You know, how many of you think God looks and goes, whoa, that's awesome. I only made the worlds. But gee, wow, great. I'm impressed. Well, I'm going to bless you now. But that's how people think. And it's every bit as wrong to hold your failures before God and think, well, God can't touch me. Look where I failed. Both are equally pride-filled. Both are equally wrong and devastating to the life of the individual. Both of them are taking your conduct, whether good or bad, and lifting it above the work of redemption. Both of them are pride. One just appears to be more than the other, but they both are. In Mark chapter 4, verse 15, Jesus is describing how the modus operandi of the devil, when he says, and these are they by the wayside where the word of God is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately to take away the word that was sown in their hearts. That's a Bible principle of how the devil operates. Anytime you hear what God says, the Bible says Satan will try to come immediately. Everyone say immediately. What does immediately mean? Right now or immediately. Now, and to take away that which God sowed in you by His Word. That's a Bible principle. So I think it's something that the Bible tells us to be aware of and not be ignorant of. So in order so that when we come out of a place of meeting like this, that we can be ready. Have you ever found this out? Your greatest temptations to get out of harmony in your marriage is on the way to and from church. That's not an accident. Don't you understand that if the force against you, arrayed against you, can get you caught up in your failure before that moment God's trying to reach you and touch you, that He can separate you from it? You say, well, is that an evil spirit? It's just His mode of operation. To try to trap you. That's not coincidental. It's not coincidental that attack comes on a Sunday on your way to church. Not at all. How many of you ever white-knuckled driven into the parking lot? You know what I'm talking about. Like, and you're twitching as you get out of the car. Smile. Greeters at the door. God bless you. And you're like, God bless you too. And you're walking past them and that voice is going, hypocrite. 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 Yeah. And then another person, praise God, it's good to see you. And you go, yeah, amen, praise God. Praise God now, hypocrite. Praise God now, hypocrite. And you're just... And you walk in, Pastor Mike's worshiping God, and you sit down, and you go to raise your hands, and he says, oh, you fine thing, raising your hands before me, before God. Why, you worthless, no good. And the hands go, I'm no good. You know, have you ever... Now, don't raise your hand. Been on your way to church and even stopped in the middle? Said, what's the use? Forget this. I can't go in there now. You ruined the whole thing for me. Me? It was you. And the kids are in the back beating on each other. You're getting a twitch, man. You're on your way home. And the kids say, can we stop and have breakfast? Breakfast! You're not eating again forever! Go to your room. Come out when you're 40. It happens. So y'all thought you were the only one, didn't you? It's his operation. Don't be ignorant of it. So when it comes, and even when you get caught up in the middle of it, stop and say, wait. Let's just all ask the Lord to forgive us. Father, forgive us in Jesus' name. Stop right in the middle of it. I don't care. You're right. I'm wrong. Who's whatever. Let's forgive one another. On three. One, two, three. Forgive. 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 Go to church and be blessed. And you'll overcome. Well, the same is such when you receive healing. He comes immediately to steal it. Now, how's he going to do that? In the sense realm. God works in the realm of the spirit. The devil works for the senses. Because he is the God of this present world. And so he has to deal with you according to the senses and the thought realm. God deals with man according to the spirit of man. The devil deals through the senses. You can't know God by feelings. You can't know God by mental gymnastics. You can be the most intelligent person in the world, and you can have all the degrees and education, and there's nothing wrong with degrees and education. But you don't know God that way. You know God from your spirit man toward him. You can't know God through your mind. You can't know God through your body. Now, you will know the attack of the enemy through those realms. And you've got to know how to resist them. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 24, Jesus gave this principle again. Now, literally here, he's talking about when a person is delivered from an evil spirit. Now, the same principle holds true, but I want you to see what Jesus said happens. Immediately when somebody is set free from the influence of an evil spirit. Luke 11:24 said, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he, the unclean spirit, walks through dry places seeking rest and finds none. And then he says, I will return, now listen, to my house. Get a hold of that. Where I just came out of. The Bible says your body is the temple of who? The Holy Ghost. I want you to see someone else is calling it their house. Somebody else wants to live there. Somebody else wants you to manifest their desires through your flesh. See, get a hold of this. Your body is so important. It's the body of Christ in the earth. God has no expression in the earth except through physical bodies. Get a hold of that. That's how God works, and that's how they're both. God is endeavoring by the power of the Holy Ghost to get you to yield your body as a living sacrifice unto Him, holy and acceptable and well-pleasing in His sight, and to renew your mind by the Word. But the devil wants that same place. He wants to influence your flesh because he also, evil spirits and evil influence of the enemy cannot have any expression in this earth realm except bodies cooperate with them. And so the evil influence is saying, that's my house. I will go back to my house. And then look at verse 25. And when he comes, he finds it swept and empty and garnished. In other words, they've never replaced anything in there. They left the door wide open. And then he goes and he takes seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. It's a scriptural principle. When you get set free from something, you better shut the door. When the power of God comes upon you and you receive healing, when that thing comes back, whether it be, and it could be an evil spirit, or it could just be the symptoms of that disease, you better know how to shut the door. So, Pastor, how do I do that? You do it the same way you receive, by faith and with your words. You speak to that circumstance and you say, no, when hands were laid upon me, the power of God flowed into me. That power affected a healing and a cure in me. I resist you in Jesus' name. So what good does that do? Look at James chapter 4. See, if you have like that dear brother's statement was, if God wants me to stay healed, then it's up to Him. Then you're greatly deceived. James chapter 4 and verse 7 says this, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he might flee if he feels like it. No, he will flee. One translation says, as in terror. You can only resist somebody that you have authority over. You have authority over him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that clearly. But the Bible tells you, submit yourself to God and resist the devil. Submit to God, resist the devil. Submit to God, resist the devil. And he will flee. He will flee. And what, I love the one translation says, as in terror. I like that. It said he will flee from you. So you've got Scripture to stand upon, that you have a right and a privilege, and let me take it a step further, and a responsibility to submit to God and to resist the devil. I think it's a whole lot worse to resist God and submit to the devil. And when you accept symptoms back, that's exactly what you just did. You've resisted what God's doing, and you submitted to the work of the enemy. It may not be a literal evil spirit, but you can mark it down. It's not from God. Jesus said it wasn't. Then in 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 8, you find the same thing, just a couple books away. The same thing the Holy Ghost saying through the writer, Peter. Verse 8, he said, be sober. There's Scripture not to drink. Anyway, be sober. No, he's not talking about drinking that. Be sober, be vigilant, be on guard, be aware, open your eyes, wake up, Junior. You get it? Hello? Wake up, because your adversary, the devil, he's your enemy, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, some people read it this way, seeking whom he will devour. No, it said whom he may. There'd be some he may, and there'd be some he may not. What is going to be the difference of being devoured and not devoured? Who's the ones that he may devour and those he may not? He's looking, see, it's his modus operandi. It's his mode of operation. His M.O. is to go about seeking people to devour. Who he has an open door, whom he may devour. I don't want to be one of those people. How do I shut the door? The next verse tells you very clearly. Whom you resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing the same sufferings are experienced by your brothers in the world. The same attacks are coming on you all. In other words, don't think you're anything special. He's coming on everybody. It's his operation. But he said, resist him. The Bible would, God would be unfair to tell you to do something you're not empowered by him to do. He tells you to resist him and he'll flee. And do it in the realm of faith. Resist him in faith and he'll flee from you. Resist him in faith and he'll flee from you. And you can stand your ground. And then when he comes to devour, you can be one that he won't. Now all of us here have had opportunities in life and experiences in life where we've opened that door. And the devil or the world system, if you will, has come in and begin to devour our lives. But we got a hold of the Word of God and we begin to change some things. A lot of you have done it in your marriages, haven't you? How many of you used to have, well, don't raise your hand, used to have marriages that, if they showed up in hell, would have felt comfortable? But you begin to change some things. Husbands, stop being so worthless and foolish and stupid to treat a woman that they want to live with the rest of their life miserably. Now, there's a bright guy. But they begin to love her as Christ loved the church. And that wife, instead of trying to control that man, yields her life into him. And those two people begin to... He loves and she yields. And then he loves some more and it's easier for her to yield. Then he loves some more. And before long, they've developed a habit of yielding and loving. Yielding and loving. Where before, they had a habit of abusiveness and get away from me. And why do you never come near me? And I'm not... You know, I know a guy, you know, look, you never talk to me. Never. Who wants to talk to you? Every time I open my mouth, you just draw my throat, pull my heart out. God in heaven, who needs that woman? I can be miserable at work. And they just begin to, instead of loving your wife like Christ loved, now you learn to submit to God. How do you submit to God? Submit to what he said about marriage. I love this one. Our marriage is in trouble. Like your marriage is independent from you. You in trouble. That's why your marriage is in trouble. You got to change. Kind of like take the marriage, stick it over there and say, we need to fix that thing. No. We need to change. And the marriage is just going to be fine. But you need to understand, this is God's operation. This is God's plan. If we'll know how to resist in whatever area, whether it be healing, whether it be marriage, money. You know how many people resist God's desire to bless them? They resist it in their thinking. God speaks to their heart and says, go do this. And they go, oh, no. Bless me in my box. And they limit God. They wonder why nothing ever changes. Because they aren't changing. To expect change without changing is a form of insanity. Let me say that again. To expect change without changing is a form of insanity. And I think sometimes we just lost our mind. We just losing it. Because we think that things are going to change and we're going to stay the same. They're not. It's like, well, God will change. God isn't going to change. He's going to empower us to yield to what He said so that we can be exactly as He desires us to be. That takes a cooperative effort. And then, finally, I want to read to you from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Now let's determine, since the origin of sickness and disease is from Satan, then it stands to reason that you must continue to resist him even after you have a healing manifestation. It just stands to reason. That's why Galatians 5:1 says this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. To enjoy freedom in God in whatever realm takes a stand. That means you have got to plant your feet solidly on the Word of God, submitting to that Word and resisting the enemy, and having done all to stand, stay put. And no matter what storm comes, no matter what trial comes, you stand on the Word of God, and the storm and test falls by the wayside, and you go on and you walk with God. That's going to be the person who keeps what God gave him. So if you had hands laid upon you last week, whether you had an instant manifestation or whether you did not, the way you're going to cooperate with what God began in you is through your mouth. What you say, what you believe. Begin to say what the Word says. Begin to say, when hands are laid on me, healing power went into me. That power is affecting a cure in me. By faith I received healing. Thank you, Father. It's mine in Jesus' name. And every time the thought contrary comes to your mind, you cast it down and you say what God said. And every time it comes again, you cast it down and you say what God said. Have faith between you and God. Don't do this for other people. It's between you and the Lord. And you will stand in the realm of faith whereby God can work on your behalf, and the enemy who puts the pressure must flee as in terror. So resist him steadfast in faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.